I'm multitasking today. We had an awesome time yesterday, the men that gathered together. And I know that there was no man that was there that wasn't touched and raised to a new level. And we just appreciate ones that came. We appreciate Brother Jack. And this morning, we're going to hear another installment. I introduce to you Bishop Jack Ernest from Richmond, Ohio. Good friend, fellow minister.
Now, see, got it now. All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 40. In Psalm 40, and I'd like to pray before we start. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just come before you. And I ask, Lord, that this morning you would open our hearts, that we would receive this word that you have given. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be receptive to it and it would prosper us. It would be something that would strengthen us and encourage us, because in the day and age in which we're living, we certainly need encouragement. And we thank you, Lord, and we just commit this service into your hands. And we ask that you would have preeminence in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 40, and we're going to look at the first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So I'm praying this morning that as we go through this, these first three verses in this psalm, that we're going to see and hear things that we've never seen before. We're going to experience things that we've never experienced before. And so often, with the Word of God, we too quickly read the passages and we don't pause and contemplate what we have read, what we're seeing before our eyes. And so I want to try this morning to expound upon these first three verses of Psalm 40. And as we do that, that we will gain something that's going to really, really help us. It's not enough just to come to church and occupy a pew or chair or spend a certain amount of time in the house of the Lord. It's my desire that we all come with the expectancy, come with an expectancy that when we walk out of those doors, that we're going to leave differently than the way we came in. We want to use our time. We want to make it profitable. And as I spoke yesterday, it's not just about we as individuals and what Ricardo shared this morning, it's not about just you, it's about the people around you. It's about co-workers, it's about family, it's about friends, it's about loved ones. So we need to train ourselves to be godly, and not just so that we can go to heaven or that we can have an easier life here on earth, but it's for those people that will see, as the scripture says, that many shall see it. See what? That they'll see what's in you. They'll see it and they'll fear. And then it will cause them to question or to ask you, how do you get through those things? How can you come out on the other side and still be standing? How is that possible? And so as we show forth our faith and we stand firm even in the midst of tragedy, that others will see that and hopefully put their trust in the Lord. So this morning, I want all of us here to be honest with ourselves. And that's hard to do because nobody knows us like we know ourselves. I know who I am. I know what I go through. I know the real Jack. So this morning, I want us to be honest. And this isn't about the person sitting next to you or your neighbor or someone else you may think should be here and hear this message. So let's consecrate on ourselves or concentrate on ourselves. We have all been at some point in our lives and our walk caught in a miry clay place or situation. I know I have, and it's been more than once that I've been caught in a tough situation. As we see here in this psalm, there are some words and sentences that really stand out. And this morning, as we were worshiping, and that's another thing, as Sister Laverne said, that when we come to church, when we enter the doors of the house of the Lord, we need to really realize where we are. We should see this as holy ground. We should see this as more than just a place to come and spend an hour or so. Our first worship song this morning was Wait Upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. So when we sing praise and worship songs, I often take notes even before the preacher starts to preach. I take notes in songs because there's preaching in the songs. If somebody's singing a special, listen to the words. You know, I was telling the men yesterday, when I come to church, when I have the opportunity to be sitting where you are and not up here, I'm blessed. I love to sit there because I get to receive, and I come to the house of the Lord with an expectancy. Because I need to hear from God too. Maybe God wants to do something in my life to straighten me up or to speak something into my life that needs to be addressed. And so I'm waiting and listening, and I have my either a pencil or a pen and paper because I believe that God can still speak. I believe that. I believe God's still able to say something to us through the man of God or the woman of God. And we should be attentive. We should be listening. because I want my life to be stronger. I want to be a good witness. I want to be a better person. And my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. He loves me, and he can speak to me, and I want to make sure I don't miss anything. Let's break down these three verses, beginning with verse 1. It says here that I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. We are now a people who want everything instantly. We eat microwavable meals, instant potatoes. We complain when our computers run slow. If you've ever had to use an old typewriter, we might not complain so much back in the day. We get in a little bit of traffic and we start having anxiety attacks. Road rage. We certainly have had a hard time waiting patiently for anything. He hears us when we cry out to him. I know sometimes we would be quick to argue that statement, but it does say, I waited patiently. I'm telling you, I don't like to wait. Every time I go into Walmart or anywhere, there's cash registers. There can be one person ahead of me, and I get in that line and I think, I'm out of here. Cash register breaks down. Somebody in front of me, that one person, when there's six in the other lines, and I'm thinking, buddy, I got the right line this time. Never happens. I spend more time when there's one person ahead of me than six. I always pick the wrong line. And I end up waiting, and I don't like to wait. That's just how I am. Case in point about waiting patiently. The book of Numbers, when Moses sent the 12 leaders from each tribe into the promised land to explore it. They came back with a bad report, and some translations even say an evil report, saying they could not possess it. They began to grumble against Moses to the point of considering stoning him to death. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. So we got to watch what we say. We really have to be careful what we say. If we're going around grumbling and complaining and, well, I can't do that, and the Lord's no good, and he don't love me, and why is he making me wait so long, and I hate my brother, I hate my sister, whatever we're doing, we're complaining. Listen, I'm telling you, God hears what we say. I mean, it's you read that scripture that he told the Israelites, I will do to you the very things I heard you say, because they were complaining. They were rising up against Moses. They were complaining, and they even went as far as to say, you know, I wish we'd have stayed in Egypt, working under the terrible hand of Pharaoh, making bricks. At least we'd have had some food. At least we'd have had a place to stay, even though we would be in bondage and being forced labor. So the Lord heard that. He heard what they said, and to that he said this, in this desert, because they said that. They said, you know what, we're probably going to die in this stupid desert. That's what they said. And the Lord said, in this desert, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census, and who has grumbled against me. A lot of people can't understand. A lot of Christians, they say, well, I don't understand why I'm not blessed. That guy over there is not even a believer. Look, he's prospering. He's being blessed. Well, since he don't go to church and he's not a Christian, he's probably not grumbling against God. So he ain't getting punished. And so oftentimes we as Christians, we grumble and fight against the only help that is available. When the disciples, and Peter said to Jesus, he says, Jesus asked him, are you going to leave me too? And he says, but Lord, to whom else shall we go? So we have no other recourse unless we walk away from the Lord, and then we're really in trouble. So let's look at verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Have you ever been literally bogged down, stuck in the mud? Has anyone in here ever experienced quicksand? Anybody in here ever been in quicksand? I have. I've been in quicksand, and it's a very, very frightful thing. It will take your life. When we were kids, where I lived at when I was a child, up on this hillside, we had to climb up, go up this old road, and up on this hillside, private property, stay out, we didn't care. And there was two ponds up there. Where there's ponds, there's fish. And when you're a kid, you're growing up like I did, you're going after them, regardless of what the sign says. So we go up there, and there was a power plant where my father worked, not far from this pond down over the hill. In making electricity, they use fine coal. It's a dust, almost like a dust. They put it in to fire the boilers to make electricity, and it's called fly ash. The reason why it's called fly ash is because it would just, like talcum powder, it would fly away in the air, would just fly. Well, they would pump that stuff from the plant up to these ponds, and it would be in like silt in the ponds, and it was around the ponds. So what us kids did, kids do stupid stuff, we would jump up and down in this fly ash around the edge of the pond, and water mixing with it, it got soupy, and the more you jumped up and down and wiggled and shook, the deeper you went. And we were always trying to be tougher than the other guy. I can stay in it longer than you, and I'll go deeper than you. And so we would do that back and forth. And then one day, Jack's going to do it. I'm going to come out of here the top dude. So I'm wiggling and shaking and wiggling. I'm going deeper and deeper and deeper. But I didn't think ahead. Who does as a kid? It's a momentary thing. We don't think ahead of the consequences. So I'm down almost to my chin. Now I got a pair of jeans on, tennis shoes, shirt, and I'm down to about here. I never gave a thought about getting out. I didn't say I was smart. I said I was a kid. I didn't think about having to get out. So I'm stuck. I'm really stuck. But we did have sense enough to keep a couple guys on the bank, just in case some dumb kid like Jack Ernest would come along and push it too far. So these, my buddies, are on the bank. And so they said, okay, you win. You can get out now. My arms are down in there. My legs are down in there. My shoulders, I can't do nothing except go deeper. The more I wiggled, and I don't have no leeway now. I'm down. If I go any lower, that stuff's going to start coming in my mouth. When you start to ingest liquid powder, you're going to die quick. So I really, really, really was concerned. I needed help. I could not get out on my own, and I was to the depth of being overcome by my situation. So these guys broke branches off of trees, and they brought them out and laid them across. Well, I can't reach up to get a hold of nothing. So they started to try to put, they reached their arms down under and got a hold of underneath, and they're trying to pull me out. And as they pulled, there was great pain, Because the harder they pulled, the harder the suction pulled me back. They were almost ripping my arms off, and my legs, but they had to get me out. So I was stuck. I was stuck in like a miry clay. I couldn't get out. But fortunately that day, we called it black quicksand. When they began to pull me out and struggling, they had to struggle, and it was pulling them in. I couldn't free myself. I could not get out, and I could not free myself. If it hadn't been for my friends, I would have been sucked under and died. I was probably 12 years old, 13. I was never so happy to be free from that horrible place. And when they got me out, I ran to solid ground and just laid there until I rested and was able to breathe. I wanted to be on solid ground. My goings had been reestablished. I was able to walk away from that almost tragic place that day in my young life. But how about us today? Do you feel like you've fallen into some kind of a pit? Here we are. How many of us in here may be right now in our lives, we find ourselves in some sort of a pit in life. We never meant to get there. So do you feel like you're stuck in some kind of situation, some miry clay type place where you just can't get free from? And that's why I said at the beginning, let's be honest. I'm here to tell you, just as the psalmist David wrote, he can hear your cry for help. We already saw that in the songs that we sang this morning. He can bring you up out of your pit. He can free you from what has laid hold on you. Not only can he bring you up out, he will set your feet upon that rock, and he will establish your goings. The pit. Let's look at verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. After having done all of that for us, he puts a new song in our mouth. So if you're in the pit, if you're in some situation in your life, fear not, because there's a way out. As Laverne stressed and emphasized over and over, he loves us. He cares about you, and he knows you better than you know yourself. He cares about what's going on in your life. He knows what you have done, where you have been, and he also knows where we are right now. Whatever we're going through in our life. And Patsy asked prayer for our friends back home. Mary Kay Wallace, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful person. Always giving, always doing for others. And then she found out that she had cancer. And then she had pain in her back, and they checked her back for the pain in her back, and they found out she had a tumor on her spine. Wow, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And, and she's just a person that you would want to hug on all day long. They love the Lord. But they're in a pit, her and her husband. They're in a pit. One of these accounts I want to share with you is when Paul and Silas was thrown into the prison. Acts 16, 25 through 30. Not only were they thrown into the prison, but the scripture says into the inner prison and had their feet locked in stocks. When I read something in the Bible and I don't have enough understanding or enough definition, Jeff, of what it says, I go searching. I search because I need to know. I want to know why didn't they just say prison? Why did they say the inner prison? So what's significant about that? So I went and found out. The inner prison is what we know as the dungeon. The inner prison is the dungeon. It's not the normal jail cell. It's a dungeon, and the dungeons were underground. They were underground. There was no electricity in the dungeons. There was no air movement in the dungeons except for the hole that led down to the dungeon. So for you to be put in the inner prison, you were considered the most dangerous of criminals. Now here they are, these Christian fellows. The only thing they did was what they're doing now today is punishing Christians for just being Christians. And so here they find themselves in a dungeon and locked, and they were naked as well. They had been beaten and stripped of their clothing. Well, about midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. They were doing what? Does it say they were singing? And the other prisoners, I'm telling you, I told the men yesterday, what you do matters. What you don't do matters. So here's Paul and Silas. They've been beaten, stripped of their clothing, put in a dungeon, shackled to the walls, chains. Ricardo sang, my chains are gone. And that's where they're at. And then about midnight, they decide they're going to have a party. I don't think I'd be singing. And if I was, it wouldn't be praises. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Catch that. The other prisoners were listening to them. Are you saying that our singing can affect others around us? When I get up in the morning, every day, because yesterday's gone, as I shared with the men last night, yesterday's gone. What we did or didn't do yesterday, you can't go back and get it. You can't go back and erase it. You can't retrieve it. It's done. It's gone. What we did yesterday is gone, but I know there's things that we have retained from what we heard yesterday, but yesterday's gone. So every day's a new day. Every day's an opportunity. And for us as Christians, the Bible says, we should choose to rejoice and be glad because this is a day the Lord has made. So we have a choice. Life is all about choices, good or bad. And we have to live with the choices we make, good or bad. Good or bad. So they were singing, and it affected the other prisoners around them. Then what happened? Suddenly. Hallelujah for suddenly. Suddenly. There was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken. How many of us in here need the foundations of the prison to be shaken? I'm telling you, if you're honest. Well, I'm not in a prison, hallelujah. Some of us are. And we need the foundation to be shaken. Then what happened? At once. Suddenly. At once. That's how quick God can deliver you out of a situation. We began to praise him. We began to sing songs of praise and adoration and love to the Lord in the situation. Not when you get out, you can continue to sing, but when you're in a situation, regardless of what that situation is, praise God in it. I didn't say praise him for it. I said praise God in it. You praise your way out of things. You can praise your way out of your situation, out of your pit, out of your jail cell. You can praise your way out. The Bible's clear. I mean, come on, it's not lying. These guys chose to praise God, and all at once, the prison doors flew open. And everybody's chains came loose. Wow. Hallelujah, Jeff. Everybody's chains came loose. Not just theirs. They were praising the Lord, and all the people around them, the other prisoners, down the corridor, hollowed out in the ground, and they hear these crazy guys up the hall or whatever, up the tunnel, praising God. They're probably cursing them. I don't know. But all of a sudden, wow, all of a sudden, just when you think he's forgotten you, just when you think he ain't listening, and I'm going to refer to you, Pastor Laverne and Pastor Jerry, all of a sudden, you guys kept praising, you guys kept singing, when a lot of us thought maybe this is it, the chains fell off. The doctors were amazed. The hospital stood back. And Pastor Jerry walked out. Amen. Hallelujah. Walked out. So don't tell me that he ain't listening. Don't tell me that he don't hear when we cry out to him. Don't tell me that he don't hear when we say, oh, God, I can't do this anymore. That's what the lady said. She called us the other day. She said, Jack, I don't think I can do this anymore. I said, honey, you got to hang on. You got to keep praising him. You got to keep praying. Because when you quit, it's over. When you cast your crown, we can't quit. Then what happened? The jailer woke up. Oh, no. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We're right here. And we ain't running. We're right here. The very people that put us in here, you want to shut us up, you come and take us out. You put me in here, you come get me out. They didn't run out. They said, you come get us out. You put us in here, you did this. You come make it right. Then what happened? The jailer called for lights. Like I told you, there's no lights. Rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So if you think what you do don't affect others around you, talk to this jailer. It affected him so much that he begged them, what do I do? What I got to do to be saved? Man, I see what happens when you praise your God. I see what happens when you sing and praise. I need to know how to do that. I want that. What must I do to be saved? Can you shout hallelujah with me? Can you get excited about that? I mean, come on. When we are in a hole in the ground, we certainly don't feel much like singing, even if we did sing. Like I said before, they would most likely be bad songs or anger and songs of anger and bitterness. But when we are lifted up out of a pit or a hole, being held down by miry clay, we feel like dancing and singing what David called a new song. Amen. It's a song, oh, love it. It's a song that the rescued sing. Hallelujah. Listen, when you get rescued, you're going to sing. Amen. You're going to sing. When you got out of that prison, you was a singing man. Hallelujah. And you're still singing. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, when God rescued me out of the drugs and the alcohol and all the stuff that I was in, I began to sing. I had a reason. I had something to shout about. I had a story to tell. And I had a reason to sing, glory to God. And I'm still singing, hallelujah. And I ain't going to quit. Glory. It's a song that the rescued sing. We know what to sing because God rescued me. He rescued you. He rescued you, Jeff. He brought you up out of a pit. Hallelujah. Where is he back there? Mo, he brought you up out of a pit, brother. He rescued you. He rescued all of us. Wow. Man, hallelujah. It's a song that the rescued sing, and it's a song that will be praises to God for the great things he has done. Glory. I get excited. Hallelujah. In fact, you're so happy to be out of the pit, standing on the rock and singing a new song, that your rescue story becomes a great witness to others who may still be in the pit. Man, we got something to say. I got a story to tell. I got something to say. I got something to shout about. I got a reason to be happy and act crazy up here. Hallelujah. Wow. God did something for me. And you know something? Listen, he hears you when you cry. He knows if you're in a pit. He knows what's bothering you. He knows what's coming against you. And man, listen, you start to sing and you start to praise in the midst of it. The chains will fall off. The mud will start to slide off. Hallelujah. And you can get your head up and above the clay. And then when you get out, glory to God, you're walking on solid ground. It's solid, and you're saying, Lord, I'm so glad to be standing on solid ground. I'm so glad to be up out of that pit. I'm so glad I don't need them drugs. I'm so glad I don't need that booze. I'm so glad I don't need this. And I'm so glad I don't need that. And I'm so glad that I got you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Gee, going to preach myself tired. Hallelujah. And my song, how great thou art. Hallelujah. I get excited when I hear that song. I can't sing, but I make a joyful noise. How great thou art. And amazing grace. Chains that unfell off. I'm a free man. Wow. Whew. Have you ever been rescued from a pit? Do you have a new song? Are you singing a new song of praise? Do people around you know that you've been lifted up out of a pit and set free? When I used to work in the steel mill, man, I mean, I was nuts. I was a crazy man. I'd be smoking dope on the job, talking to the foreman. He said, man, what are you smoking? I said, ain't none of your business. I mean, I was nuts. I was gone, I'm telling you. Wow, my wife never knew what kind of phone call she was going to get or who was going to come knocking on the door. But I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus took me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock, those people in that steel mill, they thought I had really gone over the edge. And they were right. I went on over the edge, just flew into glory. And because I did, guys would come to me that persecuted me. And after a while, they watched me and said, oh, he'll be back. He'll come back. He'll be up here with us blowing them joints and stuff. No, Jack started singing. I had a song to sing, and I still have a song to sing. Wow. And those same people that I used to do drugs with and stuff was coming to me and saying, Jack, I know you're different now. And they call it religious. They don't know it's a relationship. They call it, you got religion. No, I got salvation. I got a relationship. Don't call it religion. I don't like religion. And come to me and say, I don't know how to ask you this, but you know, my grandma is raising me because my parents left. And my grandma's raising me. And my grandma's sick. I don't know how to ask you this, Jack. I say, it's okay. Will you pray for my grandma? Because I don't know how. And I don't have the connection that you got now. Will you? You know, I'm sorry for how I persecuted you, man.
I'm sorry for the stuff I wrote on the wall about you. But would you pray for my grandma? I said, yeah, man. Come on. Come on, let's go over here in this corner. We're going to pray for grandma. And God healed his grandma. God healed his grandma. I'm going to tell you, God don't like his people being in pits. You know why? Because we weren't created to live in a pit. We were not created to eat corn husks like the prodigal son did, living with the pigs and eating corn husks. And the Bible says when he came to his senses, he said he got up out of there and he started walking down that road, going back home, going to go see Dad. Got an apology to tell him I messed up, man. But I'm going to go see Dad. And listen, we need to remember what the dad did. Thank you, honey. Remember what the dad did? He didn't say, what are you doing back here, you worthless idiot? You wanted all your inheritance, and now I give it to you, and you're going off and using on wild women and drinking and doing all the stuff you're doing. What are you coming back around here for? No, you're not welcome here. Because the dad had what, Laverne? See, you talked about it up here, didn't you? About that love, huh? Dad loved his son so much. He said that, you know what? The father ran to the son. But in biblical days, they never did that. That was almost taboo for the parents to run toward the children. And when that father ran toward his son, it just broke everything. And then his brothers were jealous and everybody else and everything like that. But you know what? I think the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Glory. If you're stuck, listen to me. If you're stuck, you got to be honest. If you're stuck, if you're bogged down, regardless of what it is, if you're stuck, if you're here and you're bogged down, something's really just been holding you down for so long. Something's been at your heels for so long. Something's been messing with you for so long. And you just can't kick it. You can't get free from it. You need to cry out to him. Because he will, not maybe, he will rescue you. Amen. He'll sing a song over you. And then you'll want to sing a song of praise and adoration and thanksgiving. You know what? We can be free. But here's the biggest thing in Christianity. Here's the biggest problem in the churches today, and I'm talking right here, right now, in this church, in this gathering. Here's the biggest problem of us being man or woman enough to admit we need help. That's the biggest problem, because we'll sit in chairs or pews, and we'll almost do this. I ain't getting up. I don't care what that guy says. I don't care how much the Lord is loving me right now and wants to deliver me or take me up out of the pit that I'm in. And I'm holding on to this chair seat. I'll rip it off. But I ain't giving in. I'm not going to admit that I need help. And there's so many of us that we do that. Oh, I'm going to give an altar call, by the way. I'm going to give an altar call, so if anybody's scared, makes you nervous, you can go ahead and leave. And I won't be offended, but you'll lose. I was preaching in a church up home about a couple of months back. We'd done the Sunday morning service, came back and did the evening service. And I usually don't tell people what I'm going to preach. Pastor Jerry don't know what I was going to preach today. Anybody, I didn't tell Laverne. And that night when I preached in this church, I didn't tell the pastor or anybody what I was going to speak about. And the lady got up and sang a song I'd never heard before. Absolutely beautiful song. She preached my message by singing her song. 4 days late. Now I want you to hear this. I'm going to read the song. 4 days late. What's that got to do with anything? 4 days late. And when she said the name of the song, I had no clue what it was going to be. Just like some movies. They have a title, but it don't match with nothing. Listen to this. 4 days late. The news came to Jesus. Please come fast. Lazarus is sick. And without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come. And they wondered why. The death watch was over, buried 4 days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here. The Lord's on his way. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him. He'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late. All hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. When he's 4 days late. Jeff, he's still on time. When he's 4 days late, he's still on time, Mo. When God is 4 days late, he's still on time. When that girl sang that and she got to that part, I just jumped up. I was making a fool of myself. Hallelujah. I was just, you know, spit jumping and everything. You know, people looking at me. I said, okay, go ahead. Wow. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Martha, show me the grave. But he said, Lord, how many times have we said this? But Lord, you don't understand. Come on with that. What's up with that? We're going to tell God he don't understand. But it's honest. It's how you feel. Jesus said, Martha, show me the grave. But she said, Lord, you don't understand. He's been there 4 days. The gravestone was rolled back. Then Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. Then somebody said, he's alive. But you're 4 days late and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you've waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. When he's 4 days late, he's still on time. You may be fighting a battle, a fear of fear. You've cried out to the Lord, I need you now, but he has not appeared. Friend, don't be discouraged, because he's still the same. He'll soon be here. He'll roll back the stone, and he'll call your name. Wow. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you've waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. When he's 4 days late, he's still on time. So, I just want to open an invitation to the altar. A good old-fashioned altar call. Only you know, you and God know where you are. What you're struggling with. What's pulling you down. What's the thing that you're struggling with? Are you in a pit? Are you being held back or held down by miry clay? Stuff that's bothering you, regardless of what it is. I'm really burdened for our friends back home. Mary Kay is the one that's dealing with the cancer, and her husband, he's having such a hard time. His faith is weak. He's not strong in his faith. And I'm burdened for them. Patsy and I are burdened for them. We go over and we pray over them and pray with them and hold them and hug them and stuff. And it's just, I know they're having such a hard time. I'm going to sing something. Just something soft, something for an altar call. Anything. Just make some noise.
Yes, Lord.
The invitation. Blessing. Please, don't pass up this time. Please don't pass up this time. I'm telling you, when I come to a place to preach, I have sought the Lord. I have spent time with the Lord to get the message that He wanted me to bring here today. I spent a lot of time before the Lord waiting to hear what, Lord, what's the message? What do you want me to take to New Life for the Nations? What is it? And I do my best to know that there's people, God's people, there's people that's hurting, there's people that have needs. And what breaks my heart more than anything is when I've walked out of the church and people have not responded, and they continue to be trapped in whatever it is that's holding them down. That's whatever's holding them back, because I know. Look at the people up here. They're just like you and just like me. They have needs. And if you've got a need, the best place to bring it is to an altar and give it up. Get out of the clay. Get out of the miry clay. Get out of the pit. Start to sing a song. The chains will fall off. I didn't say maybe they would. I said the chains will fall off and you can be set free. I'm telling you, I'm a happy man. I'm a happy man because I'm a free man. Somebody preached to me one time and said, you can be set free. And I was foolish enough to believe it. And I said, I'm going to try it. And it worked. So if you're here this morning, you want prayer for anything, please come up. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Just don't carry it out the door.